Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubis Daf Lamed Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, the last words of the Amud, Ramalei Rapapa Bashmul Rav Yosef. As we had learned in the previous shiur in the Mishnah, there was a machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda regarding a shvuya. If a Jewish woman above the age of 3 was captured, is she still entitled to knas? Are we concerned that she's no longer psula, or are we not concerned that she's a psula? The Tanakhama held that we have to be concerned that the captors violated her, she's no longer a psula, and no longer entitled to knas. Rabbi Yehuda disagreed. Rabbi Yehuda held that she is entitled to knas. And as Rabbi Yochanan explained Rav Yehuda's position, it was because Rav Yehuda holds that just because a woman was captured does not mean that she was violated, does not mean that she's no longer psula. Ramalei Rav Papa Bashmul Rav Yosef asked the Gemara on that, or Rav Yochanan's explanation of Rav Yehuda's opinion. V'savar Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, does Rav Yehuda indeed hold that a woman, even when she was captured, remains with a kedusha? We're no longer concerned that she is a psula. We certainly expect and assume that she is a psula. For Tanya, we learned in a brisa. The Gemara Masechta Nida teaches us that if a woman sees dam, she becomes a nida. We know that a nida is tamei, and that what she touches becomes tamei. But actually, a woman does not only become a nida when the blood discharges from her body, but actually, as soon as the blood leaves her makar, as long as the blood leaves her uterus, she's already tamei. So the question now is, a woman saw dam at a specific time. Are we to be concerned that actually this dam was already discharged from her makar previously, and she was already tamei from that point? Certainly, as Rashi and the Rishonim explain, midaraisa, we have no reason to have this concern. We have a chazaka that the isha, that the woman is tahor, and we can rely on that chazaka until we know for certain otherwise. When our Gemara, but the Gemara Masechta Nida tells us that the Rabbanon were machmer, that if a woman has a discharge, we consider a tamei retroactively, either 24 hours or from the last time she made an examination, whichever is the shorter of those two times. From the last time she made an examination, because had the dam left her makar, when she made the examination, she would have seen it. And the fact that she didn't see it, it's a proof that there was no dam leaving the uterus. And 24 hours, because Chazal tell us that the dam that left the makar certainly will be discharged from the body within 24 hours from when it left the makar. The brisa we discuss now discusses a geyoris and a skyra. A geyoris becomes a geyoris. A non-Jewish woman, her dam, does not make her tamei. And how we have a geyoris that became a geyoris, neras adam, and now she sees dam. And the question is the halacha that applies to all Jewish women applied to her too? Rabbi Hudaimer Dayashata, that by her we only consider her tamei from when she actually sees the dam. And Rashi explains that since midaraisa, as we explained, we can rely on the chazaka. It's only a chumra derabbanon to speak about this retroactive tuma. Since we can't make a tamei retroactively for 24 hours, because 24 hours ago she wasn't even Jewish, so the entire halacha doesn't apply. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. The Shita explains that the explanation of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha that we discussed, that Rabbanan instituted retroactive tumah, only applies after the woman had her first regular re'iyah. After the Giyaris fell into her regular cycle, that's when Chazal instituted this din of retroactive tumah. But that the first tumah that this woman should experience will be this tumah derabbanan, this retroactive tumah derabbanan, that's not the first tumah that Chazal instituted for a Giyaris. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Harei ki kol anoshim, she is to be treated like all Jewish women. Umetam es laesum b'kida l'kida, and she becomes tamei retroactively. And Rishonim point out, Ritva points it out, it's not 24 hours, because 24 hours ago she wasn't Jewish. So what it means is, she's tamei retroactively, either from when she did her last examination, or from when she became a Geyoris, whichever is the shorter of those two times. I did see that Rabbi Yoshev explains that the machloikus between Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi goes to how far do we have to be mevarer? Do we have to try to clarify a situation? Rabbi Yehuda is more lenient, and he says, since here, by this woman, she's a Geyoris, we can't do the regular type of clarification we could do by all other women. That's why Chazal didn't require any clarification. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, whatever clarification can be done, should be done here too. Another halacha, v'tzrich l'hapten shloish chadoshim. As we learned in Masechet Yevamos, every Jewish woman, if a marriage terminates, is not allowed to get remarried for 3 months. So that we should know that in case she's pregnant, we should know, and we shall have a child 7 months later. We won't know, is it a child that was born 7 months to the second husband, or 9 months to the first husband. And that's why Chazal instituted that every woman should wait, 3 months between when her marriage terminates and her remarriage. And as we learned, this is halacha that applies under all circumstances. I saw a tshuva from a Moshe Feinstein, in fact, that there was a couple who had been separated for 17 years, and finally they got divorced, and the woman was very anxious to get remarried because she was anxious to have children and she was getting older. And Rav Moshe still said the halacha of 3 months is a hard and fast rule that must be always followed. I saw another interesting tshuva from the Minchas Yitzchak, where he discusses where there was a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman married. And then the non-Jewish man decided to become a ger tzedek, a true ger. And the question that was posed to him was that here, this woman was living with him before, and this woman will be continue living with him afterwards. So here, there is no question, if they have a child, who the father is. Is there still a requirement of this 3 month separation? And Mechshitzchak says there is a requirement, because we need to know if the woman is pregnant and she has a daughter. If the daughter was conceived while the father was still non-Jewish, such a girl may not marry a Kohen. If on the other hand, the baby girl, who ultimately become an adult, was conceived after the father was Megayer, she would be allowed to marry Kohen. So even under those circumstances, the Minchas Yitzchak says the 3 month separation period is required. So Bryce says, V'tzrich l'hamting shlosh chadoshim, a woman who becomes a Geyoris has to wait 3 months before she gets married, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi matel inosei la'oris al-nosei miyad, and Rabbi Yossi allows her to get married immediately. So as Tosfos explains the Gemara's question, here we see that Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that the Geyoris had relations till the last moment. And we have to know, was this child conceived before she was a Geyerus or after? And that's why she has to wait 3 months. So why is Rabbi Yehuda Mekel by a Shvuya? We should be concerned that she also had relations. And as Tosfos explains, actually, the Gemara should have asked the question on the Mishnah itself. The beginning of the Mishnah says that the Geyerus is not, if she became a Geyerus after she was 3 years old, we have to assume is not a Basula. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't disagree with that then. It's only by the case of a Shvuya that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And the Gemara should have asked, explains Tosfos, that why is Rabbi Yehuda machmer by a Geyerus and Mekel by a Shvuya? So he would answer, it's different. A Geyerus was non-Jewish and a Shvuya is Jewish and they act differently. But now that the Gemara showed us that this Geyerus, no, she's becoming a Geyerus, and we're talking obviously about a Geyerus Tzedek, someone who's doing it properly, yet Chazal tell us we have to be concerned that up to the moment of Geyerus she might have had relations with a man. So certainly, asked the Gemara, the Shvuya, who was under the control of the people who captured her, we should certainly be concerned, was violated during that time. Yet we find Rabbi Yehuda isn't concerned about it. Amalei answers the Gemara, Geyerus as Shvuya Karamis. You're asking a question between Geyerus and Shvuya. Geyerus loy mintra nafsha. Shvuya mintra nafsha. Geyerus doesn't watch itself not to have relations, whereas a Shvuya does. And as the Mefarshim explained the Teretz, a Geyerus did not grow up in a Torah environment. And since she didn't grow up in that environment, she's accustomed to having relations with men. And therefore, even though she's about to become a Geyerus, we have to be concerned that she had relations up to the moment of Geyerus. On the other hand, a Shvuya is a woman that grew up in a Torah environment, in a religious environment. And she was brought up how improper it is for a woman to have relations with a man who's not her husband. And therefore, by her, even though she was under the control of these captors, says Rabbi Yehuda, we could be sure that she did everything to make sure that she didn't have those relations. Ask Tosfos, but the din of our Mishnah doesn't only apply to an adult woman. The din of our Mishnah even applies to a child, as long as she's above 3 years old. Can we say that a child above 3 years old has this kind of understanding, and just because she was born and raised in a Jewish environment, she's so careful? Answers Tosfos. The truth is that a girl is very young. There's nobody really that anxious to have relations with her, and she's not interested in having relations. The concern only begins when she's somewhat older and more mature. Since she grew up in the right environment, at that point she's also careful not to have relations with anyone who's not her husband. However, ask the Gemara, V'rami Shvuya Shvuya. We have a stira, we have a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda's position regarding a Shvuya. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, HaGyaris V'Shvuya V'Shivcha, Sheniftu V'Shnez Gairu V'Shneshtachru, Yeseris Abunai Shol Shonav Yemechad. If they became redeemed, or became a Gyaris, or got freed, if they're over 3 years old, so Rabbi Yehuda holds, Tzricha Islahapten Shlosh Chadoshim. They have to wait for 3 months. We have to be concerned that they had relations during that time. Rabbi Yossi matel oris l'nasim yad. Rabbi Yossi allows them to get married immediately. So here we clearly see that Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that they had relations while they were in captivity, and that's why they're not allowed to get married for 3 months. Ishtik. So Rabbi Yosef was quiet. He wasn't able to answer this question. Amalei, so he asked to Rabbi Papa, Midish Milch Baha, did you perhaps hear an answer to this question? Amalei Hachi Am Rav Sheshes. This is the way Rav Sheshes explained this. Braisa, Sheruah Shnivela. We clearly saw have relations. When does Rabbi Yehuda say that we could assume that a Shvuya is a Basula still? Well, we didn't see her have relations. But certainly in a case where we know and saw Adam saw her having relations, then we can't assume that she's a psula, and therefore she has to wait 3 months. And the Haflah explains the Braisa, that it's not necessarily that we saw her have relations within the last 3 months. The Deir Halach is the Chutna, she has to wait 3 months. Even if she was in captivity for a year or two, and this that the Adam saw her having relations happened a year or two ago. Once we saw that she had relations, so then we have to be concerned that she had relations throughout the entire duration, up to the last moment of captivity, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda will agree she needs these 3 months of Havchana. Ask the Gemara, if we saw her have relations, why does Rabbi Yossi allow her to get married immediately after she comes out of captivity? Yehochim my Talmud Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rava, Kesavah Rabbi Yossi holds, Isha Mezana Meshameshes B'moch Leitus Aber. This woman who's having relations out of marriage will be careful to use a cloth to absorb the zera, and will serve as contraceptive to prevent her from getting married, to getting pregnant. Ask the Gemara, Bishlam Agiyoris, we could understand a Agiyoris who knows that she intends to become a Agiyoris, so she doesn't want to have a child that was born not as a Jew, that was not conceived as a Jew. Kiva the data ligure, she tends to become a Gyoris, therefore Minatra Napsha, she's careful to use this type of contraception. Shvuya Nami, a woman who's in captivity, Dilayada Hechamantala, she doesn't know where she's gonna be, and she certainly doesn't want to become pregnant from one of her captors, does the same. Shev Khanami, in a normal case of a slave woman, the Shaman Pimura, she hears from her master that she's about to be freed, or she's ultimately going to be freed. So that's why she's careful to use contraception. Ella Yoitza B'Shem V'Ayin, a woman, we know that the Torah tells us in Parashas Mishpatim that a slave woman who is hit by her master and she loses a tooth or an eye or a limb is freed. Now that's obviously something that she can't anticipate. So the question is, Mayikal Meimer, how can we say that she doesn't need this 3 month separation period? She didn't know to use contraception. She wasn't aware that she's about to get freed. V'chi teima, and if you'll indeed say that Koma Mela Le'am Rabbi Yossi, then any case that wasn't planned, Rabbi Yossi did not say his halacha. There, Rabbi Yossi will agree that the 3 month separation is required. For a Nusa Mefuta, the case of a Nusa, Muslims show him take out the case of Mefuta. But the case of a Nusa, which is Mamela, a woman isn't planned to be violated, the Tanya, and yet we learned in a Braisa that Rabbi Yossi holds. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they have to wait this 3 month period. Now, nus is certainly something that wasn't planned. Why, according to this understanding, is Rabbi Yossi Mekel? Elo Amar Rabba, Ksav Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi holds, Isha Mezana Mesapeches, a woman who doesn't has relations now with her husband, always, and even if she couldn't plan to use contraception, have a cloth prepared, has another form of contraception. She turns herself over after having relations, kadesh loitus aber, which prevents pregnancy. So we have here a machloikus Rashi and Tosfos. This teretz that the Gemara says, Isha mezana mehasapeches kadesh loitus aber, it certainly applies to Anusa, according to Rabbi Yossi. Every woman who was violated, Rabbi Yossi says, turns over vigorously after having the relation to make sure that she doesn't conceive a child. What will be the halacha regarding a slave woman wasn't anticipating to be freed, but then her tooth or her eye was knocked out and she's freed? Do we still also say by her the teretz of Isha Mezana Mesapeches Kedosh Letus Aber? Rashi says that this teretz would apply to them too. Tosfos says that it wouldn't apply to them because she had relations, didn't expect to get freed, and didn't do anything to terminate a pregnancy. A week later, when her shein v'ayin are knocked out, and then she's not anxious anymore to be pregnant, it's too late. And therefore, Tosfos says the teretz of isha mezanim esapeches kadesh lotus aber only applies to anusa, but does not apply to a shifcha who is yoytzes b'shein v'ayin. The mefarshim ask that although we know the halacha is that a woman is not obligated in the mitzvah of pur vu, the halacha, however, is that a woman is prohibited in ashchasa zera, in destroying semen, in using contraception that will destroy the semen, that destroy a passable embryo, a passable fetus, a child. So how, if this woman was violated by a Jewish man, is she allowed to be misapeches kadesh leitus aber? So the Sefer Or Gadol answers that a woman has no obligation or responsibility to safeguard zera that was forcibly inserted in her body, and therefore if she was violated, she's permitted to do these acts that will expel the zera. Points out the Aruch HaShulchan that women who have relations with the husband should be careful not to do any vigorous activity after having relations that will cause zera to discharge, because that will be included in the iser of hashchasa zera levatola, which applies to women at all. Also, as the Gemara v'idach Rabbi Yehuda, who requires that every woman wait these 3 months, why does he say that? Why doesn't he agree with Rabbi Yossi that the woman does these acts to prevent pregnancy? Answers Rabbi Yehuda, Chashin Hashalim L'Hafcha Yofa Yofa. We have to be concerned that she did not turn over properly. It isn't really the best form of contraception, and therefore we can't rely on it. We learned at the end of the Mishnah that a one violated one of his close relatives for whom there's a chiv mises bezdet, then there's no chiv knas, because the pasuk says shnem v'loyi osan onish onish. The pasuk says if two men are fighting and they hit a pregnant woman, if no one dies, then he should be punished with money. But what we learn from that pasuk is if there is a fatality, someone dies, so we say kim levet rabbanei, and we only give misa and we don't obligate mamon. Similarly here too, since there's a chiv misa, there is no chiv knas. Ask the Gemara, is the pasuk that our Mishnah quoted of v'lo ye'osan onesh onesh the source for kimle medrabanei? For ha mahacha nafka, mahasam nafka. We learned it from the other pasuk that we quoted in our perek. Kedei rishasoi, that teaches mishum risha achas atam chayvoi, v'yatam chayv mishnim tei rishayis. That's the pasuk that teaches us that kimle medrabanei. Answers the Gemara, chod b'misa mamon. One pasuk is referring to the case where he was chayiv both misa and money, and v'chada b'malkus v'mamon. And one pasuk is referring to a situation where he was chayiv malkus v'mamon. That's why we need two psukim. And explains the Gemara v'tzricha, we need both psukim. The yashmin and misa mamon. How he only had a pasuk regarding misa mamon mishum de ik ibn neshama. In that case, somebody is getting killed, and therefore this, which is obviously the most severe punishment, and therefore we don't obligate mamon. And as the Shita explains, even though we learned in the previous shiurim that even if he actually won't get killed, chayvim mises shogigin, we still apply the concept of kimle medrabanei. But still, since there's such a serious aveira took place for which there is potentially a chiyuv misa, there is a potential for ibad neshama. That's why Chazal did not require. That's why we apply the concept of kimle medrabanei. Ava malkus amamin the leki ibad neshama emeloi. Maybe we shouldn't say the concept of kimle medrabanei. V'yashmina malkus amamin mishum deloi chamer esuri. It wasn't such a serious aveira. Ava misu amamin, in the case of misa amamin, the chamer esuri is such a serious aveira emeloi. Maybe we should not apply the concept of kimle medrabanei. Maybe I should not apply the concept of Kimmel Rabbanei and give both Einshin. Tzricha, that's why we need the concept of Kimmel Rabbanei taught in both cases. And as the Mefarshim of Moshe Sternbuch points out, from here we see how careful HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how exact HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with Einshin. Because as we learned earlier, Kimmel Rabbanei is only applied if the person becomes obligated in these two punishments simultaneously. If they didn't come at the exact same time, we wouldn't say Kimmel Rabbanei. From here we see how exact and with what kind of a precision does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the Onshim and apply the Onshim in certain cases yes, in certain cases not. Rabbi Yashiv asks that we learned, we quoted Rabbi Chaim. Rabbi Chaim says there's a fundamental difference in the Kimmel Rabbanei by Misa Mammon versus the Kimmel Rabbanei by Malchus Mammon. By Misa Mammon, the Mammon is there's no obligation for Mammon. And as we just said, if for example the Misa cannot be administered, we still don't obligate him to pay the Mammon. On the other hand, by Malchus Mammon, as we learned earlier in our Perek, if for whatever reason Malchus cannot be administered, for example, the person did not receive Asra, the Mammon is administered. So what does the Gemara answer, asks Rebbe Yashiv, that's the difference between Misa Mammon and Malchus Mammon, and that's why we need two Psukim. So he answers that even in the case of Misa Mammon, actually, it's not that he's totally free from paying Mammon, because the Gemara says, Delchatchilo, Yoytzei, Yidei Shemayim, even in a case of Mis or Mammon, the person should pay the Mammon. Furthermore, the halacha is that if in such a case the person who the Mammon, who the money was owed to, would be typhus, would grab the Mammon, the halacha is that he's allowed to keep it. So it's not that he's completely free of the monetary obligation, and that's why that teretz could not be given. Ask the Gemara, however, according to Rameya, Dharma Loike Mishalim, that we don't apply the concept of Kimmel Rabbanei by Malchus and Mammon. So we're back to our original question, Tarti Lomeli, why do we need two Pesukim to teach us the concept of Kimmel Rabbanei? Answers the Gemara, according to Rameya, Chod v'misa v'mammon, v'chod v'misa v'malchus. One pasuk is referring to the situation of Misa Mammon, and one is the case of Misa Malchus. And we need both Pesukim. Tzricha, diashmin misa mammon. If we only had the pasuk of misa mammon, I would say mishum dechad begufei, dechad bemoinei. One punishment that affects his body, and one punishment that affects his wallet. Lo yavdinen. Av misu malchus, di divide begufei. Both are punishments administered on his body. Ema misa richti, I would consider it one long death, and therefore we should give him both malchus and mammon, and therefore the navid bay. That's why we need a pasuk. To give him two punishments that affect his body, we don't do. Misa and mammon. One is his body and one is his money. We should do both and not apply the concept of Kimmel Rabbanei. That's why Ramei needed both Pesukim. As Tosfos, but now according to Rabbanon, we're missing a pasuk. We have one pasuk for Misa Mammon. We have another pasuk for Malchus Mammon. But where will we have a pasuk for Misa and Malchus that Rabbanon applied the concept of Kimmel Rabbanei in that situation also? So Tosfos answers that once we have a pasuk that teaches us that by Malchus we apply the concept of Kimmel Rabbanei, it makes no difference if it's Malchus and Mammon, or makes no difference if it's Misa and Malchus, we always apply the concept of Kimmel Rabbanei. The Rashba explains it, answers this question differently. Because he says, as we've just learned in the Gemara, each one of the cases are somewhat unique. We can't learn one from the other. He says that the halacha of Misa or Malchus, according to Rabbanon, could be learned from a combination of the other two psukim. If where it's a situation of Malchus and Mammon, which are not severe, we say that halacha is he only receives one punishment. So certainly in the cases of of Malchus and Misa, which are more severe, he should receive only one punishment. And if you'll say just the opposite, because it's more severe, he should receive both penalties, because he's done such a big aveira, then we'll say, we'll bring a proof from Misa Mammon, where he obviously did even a more serious aveira, and he only receives one punishment. And therefore, according to the Rashi, according to Rabbanon, there is no need for Pasuk of Misa Malchus, because the case of Misa Malchus can be learned out from a combination of the cases of Malchus Mammon and Misa Mammon. There's a pasuk that says, "V'leisikhu kaifa l'nefesh v'tzeach." We should not take money from the life of a murderer. And as the Gemara here in the Havamina understands, the pasuk is teaching us that a murderer is mechuyev misa, and he doesn't pay a fine. So the question is, of course he doesn't. Didn't we just learn a concept of kamalei b'drabanei that he doesn't get both anshim? Answers the Gemara, the Amr Rachmana, what the Torah means to teach us here is, Lashishkum Mamoinaminay, the Tifterim Katala. Don't take a fine, and by taking the fine, he'll be pardoned from getting killed. And as the Sheet explains, why do we have a Havamina that different, that the Pasuk is teaching us anything else? The Gemara in the Havamina says the Sheet had a hard time believing that the Pasuk to teach us that money can help a person be pardoned from a chiyuv misa. But then the Gemara says, actually, since we find in other places in the Torah that, and we'll discuss that later in the Shir, kaifer is taken, so perhaps here kaifer should be taken and it wouldn't be mechuyev misa. That's why the pasuk teaches us that money cannot pardon him. Ask the Gemara, a person who kills b'shoigig, the pasuk says, "Leisichu kaifa lanus ar il meklata lamali." Again, the pasuk says that we don't take money; he has to go to galus. So obviously, kimlay b'drabanei. Answer the Gemara again: the amakra leisishkum and ma'ineminay don't take money b'tiftir min galus to pardon him from galus. And the Sheet explains this Gemara also that the premise of the Gemara's question was that this pasuk of leisichu kaifa lanus ar il meklata is mentioned not at the same place in the pasuk that speaks about the Ritzeh going to the Ir Miklot. So the Gemara in the Havamina thought that what the pasuk is teaching us is that there's two ways that the Gemara in the Havamina thought that the pasuk is teaching us that besides the Chiv Golas, he has a Chiv to pay. And that answers the Gemara that the pasuk is teaching us that he doesn't pay Mammon instead of going to Golas. And moreover, not only does he not pay Mammon instead of going to Golus, but even if he already went to Golus, he doesn't go out from the Ori Miklat with paying a fine. He has to wait until the Kohen Gadol dies. Ask the Gemara, the Trei Kra Lamali, why do we need two psukim to teach us the same concept that money cannot take care of being in the place of his Einish? Answers the Gemara, Chad b'shoigig v'chad b'mezid. We needed one pasuk when somebody killed b'shoigig, and another pasuk when somebody killed b'mezid. But tzricha, we need two psukim. We can't learn one from the other. The yashmina mezid, b'shem d'chame esure. When somebody killed b'mezid, he did such a serious sin, so of course, money can't solve it. Av shoigig, when he only killed b'shoigig, d'loi chame esure, it's not such a serious avera. Aim aloi, perhaps we could take a fine instead of sending him to Golis. The Yashmin and Shagig, if we only had a pasuk by Shagig, because the punishment is not that severe. Meshim Deleke Ibn Neshama, no one's getting killed, he's just going to Golis. Av Amazed, Dik Ibn Neshama, where the halach is that the murderer should be killed, perhaps we should try to do something to prevent someone from being killed. Aim aloi, and we should allow a fine to be paid. That's why Tzricha, we need a two psukim. And Taisvis points out that didn't we learn the Hekesh of the Tanna de Bechezkia that compares Shogig, Chayvim Misa Shogigin to Chayvim Misa Mezidin? So why don't we use that Hekesh to compare them? Why do we need two psukim? Answers Taisvis, we can't compare in this situation Shogig to Mezid, because since the punishment of Shogig and Mezid are very different, The punishment for Shagig is Golus, as we explained. The punishment for Mazid is that we killed the murderer. So therefore, in this situation, we can't compare them, and we need two separate Pesukim. There's another Pasuk. The Pasuk says, the land will not have a kapara unless we kill the person who committed a murder. Ask the Gemara, why do we need that pasuk? It can't be coming to teach us that a fine could take care of the chiyuv misa. We already had psukim that taught us that. Answers the Gemara, it's needed to teach us as the Braisa teaches us. Menayim, the halacha is that if a corpse is found, by noida mihi kol, and we don't know who murdered the corpse. So the halacha is v'yotzu zikneu ir, the elders of the city, five elders of the city, go umadadu, and they measure which is the closest city to that corpse. And the people of that closest city bring an egla rufa, they bring a calf which is decapitated by a nachal eson, by a stream, and they say yodeinu lo shafchu es dam hazeh. Says the Brice, Menashinus Arfa Gola. We went through this process of Egla Rufa. Vachach Nimsa Hoirig, and then the murderer was found. Menashe, Paichun Isai. How do we know that he's not absolved? He's still Mechuyiv Misa. Shnema, Laoretz, Chuppa, Ladama, Shashufach Boy. He has to be murdered. Ask the Mefarshim, what's the Havamina that he's not Mechuyiv Misa? Of course he's Mechuyiv Misa. He's a murderer. So the Sfarm explained that what does an einish mean? When the Torah tells us that we give somebody a punishment, it's not a revenge. You did an act, so as in revenge, we're going to murder you, we're going to give you a different punishment. When there's an aveira, when there's a chait done, the world becomes a worse place to live in. Spiritually, the world has a yirida. The world became weaker. And the purpose of the Einish is to bring the world back to its proper spiritual state. So here when a person was murdered, and we went through the Egla Arufa process, one could suggest that the Egla Arufa brought the world back to where it should be. And therefore there's no need for further Einish to the murderer. That's why the Pasuk says, no, the murderer is still responsible to have that Einish. The pasuk continued. We have to purge and the blood, the innocent blood, the murderer who murdered innocent blood. What does that pasuk teach us? How do you know that somebody was killed? It's supposed to be killed with a sword. Shumin atzaver, that it's killed by the neck. Tamaloymer v'ata tevara damanoki mikabecha. The Torah uses the same wording to teach us, just like an egla rufa mahal min atzaver, just like the egla, the calf, is killed from the neck, af shayf chedomim min atzaver, it's from the neck. Says the Gemara, ima alaham bekupitz, when we decapitate the calf, we use an axe, and we do it bimul oirif, we do it for the back of the neck. Perhaps one should say, Af kam bekupitz b'mul oirif. So too, when this murderer is killed, he should be killed with an axe from the back of the neck. And as Tosfos says, how do we know that Egla Rufa is done from the back of the neck? Because we learn Egla Rufa from the oilus ha'oif. Amar of Nachman, Amar of Avua, Amar Kra, the pasuk uses the words, V'haftu l're'acha kamoicha b'ra lo'i misa yofim. Choose for him a favorable death, a quick death, killing him by cutting his neck from the front, which immediately cuts the esophagus and the trachea, causes a quicker death, which is the way we want to treat this person. Ask the Mefarshim, we're dealing here with a murderer. He's an Eina Oysa Mas Amcha. He's not acting properly. Do we have an obligation of a Haftal or a Achal Kamaicha? So the Shita says that the Pasuk says, when the Torah teaches us how we have to treat everybody nicely, it uses the word re'acha. What does it say? To teach us that even if the person is ra, re'acha, he's ra, we still have to treat him properly. The Shita gives another answer, that since through his being killed, he has a kapara, so at the moment of death, He's no longer ra. He's no longer bad. And therefore we have to treat him favorably. Another teretz is that we know that certainly after he's killed, he's no longer bad. Because the hariga that he was killed brings to him a kapara. Now, if he will be die a gruesome death, and his body will be mutilated, well, he doesn't deserve it. He's no longer a rasha. And therefore, even before we kill him, we should have that in mind and not die, kill him in a way that he'll have a gruesome death. Another teretz is that the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin says that before a person who's condemned to be killed is taken to his death, we tell him to be misvada, shekala mumsim, misvadim, all those who are condemned to death say vidui, voisim tshuva. So since he's doing tshuva, when it comes to the time that he's being executed, he's no longer a rasha. And therefore, the halacha is that he is treated favorably and not killed in a gruesome death. There's another pasuk. The pasuk says, "Kol chayim ashiyachrim an adam lo yipada," that any one who's condemned should not be redeemed. Again, the pasuk seems to be teaching us that we can't take money to redeem somebody who's mechuyev misa. But then we learn this concept already. Answers the Gemara Mebailei L'chratanya. This pasuk comes to teach us what the Braisa says. Menayin liyotzei laharig. How do we know that someone who's taken out to be executed? Vama echot eruk alai. And somebody says, I want to give the eruk of that person. We know that the Torah tells us that every person, based on his age and his gender, has a certain eruk. How do we know if a person who's already condemned to be executed, we say eruk alai? That's a meaningless statement. That any person who's condemned doesn't really have an erich. That even before he was sentenced, was finalized, the same din applies. From a man and not all men. Some men, even though they're going to be killed, but since they weren't sentenced, they do have an erich. Ask the Gemara, or Chananya ben Akavya, Domenerach, that even a person who was condemned to death, sentenced to death, still can be the subject of an erich. Neshid Dom of Ktsuvim, because the Torah gave him a specific value based on his age and his gender. So we're back to our original question, Hai Kol Chayrim, my Ovid Lay. And Rishonim point out that Rav Chananya ben Akavya will agree that there are two concepts. There's a concept of Erechin, and there's a concept of Domin. That even though Erechin, Rav Chananya ben Akavya says, can apply to a person who was sentenced to death, Domin, somebody says, the value of this person I'm giving, certainly that is not applicable to a person who was sentenced to death. So, but why does the pasuk come to teach according to Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya? Ba'alei l'chatanya. Rabbi Shmuel ben Noach, Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika Omer. L'fishim et sunin l'mumsum de shemayim. We find that somebody who's supposed to be sentenced to death, misum de shemayim, shenoisin l'mumin m'skapelhem, they could give a fine and have a kapara. Shenem m'mkoifa, Yushas Allah, the Torah says that one's acts kill someone else, he's chayv misum de shemayim, but he could give a koifer and that will free him. Yochal afdei odom kein. I would think that also a person who was condemned, sentenced to die, Mrs. Besdin, has the same halacha. Tamalay mecheir min adam la yipada. Veinli ela Mrs. Chamuris, shlein nitna shigasu la kapara. I would only think about very serious capital offenses. What would that mean? That would mean a situation where if the person did the avera b'shoigig, and there is no opportunity to bring a kamchatis, there the halacha is that a fine cannot be given in the place of Misa. Misa's kalois, shenitna shigosl kabara. However, lesser sins, where, and why they considered lesser, says Rashi, because by them the Torah said if he did that very b'shoigig, he brings a carbon chatos. How do we know that there too, that if he did that very b'mezid, and his mechuyiv Misa, a koifer cannot take the place? Tamalaymer kol chayrim, that under all circumstances a fine cannot take the chiyuv, take the place of a chiyuv misa.